Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Justin Levy, 18 years of volunteer and career experience, currently a firefighter slash driver for Logan Rogersville Fire Protection District in Missouri, and out of state living for Berwyn Heights Company 14 in PG County, Maryland. Justin gets a taste of both worlds where, on one side, he's in the thicket of a densely populated, busy suburban slash urban area where it's not uncommon to run six potential structural boxes in a day, and on the other side is a part of a six-station, 10-personnel shift, 160 square miles of mainly rural area where mutual aid can be up to 10 minutes away. It's all perspective and who you decide to surround yourself with if you want to be good out in the field. With that, I present Mr. Justin Levy.
Justin Levy with the Logan Rogersville Fire District here in Missouri. I got into the fire service in 2006 as a junior member or a cadet out of a small town in northern Wisconsin called Winter, hour and a half or so south of Lake Superior, so all the way up the top. Small department, had 15, 20 members on it, I want to say, ran roughly 30 calls a year, I believe is what it was. No medical or nothing like that, just house fires and car wrecks, you know, little wildland fires here and there.
Right.
Got into the fire service ever since I was little, you know, fire trucks. I was 6 years old when I got to our little town, did a 4th of July parade, and I got to ride in a fire truck during the parade, and I fell in love. Moved forward years, I got into Sawyer County, the county I grew up in, had a search and rescue for missing people lost in the woods. Very, very rural area, lots of wilderness. And majority of their search and rescue team members are those under the age of 18. And I got into it that way. And then from there, I started as a junior member. My stepdad was the chief of the volunteer department there. This year, actually, he just hit his 40-year mark. This month, I want to say he just hit 40 years with the department. But started as a junior member, went and did my entry level, which was before you could do fire, or if you couldn't get into a fire one class, you could do entry level courses. That way you could still go inside once you turned 18. And then just kind of took it from there, been all over the place with it.
Okay. I was going to ask if you had any family members, but you just mentioned your dad and your dad still being active. So I would say he would probably be the reason that you're into the fire service now.
Yeah, it was my stepdad. He is, I wouldn't say that it was necessarily him that got me into the fire service, but he was definitely the one that allowed me to get my foot in the door. I always had like that interest there from when I was a kid, a younger kid before my mom even met her, before I became a pitcher in my stepdad's.
Right.
I always had that thing, but it was definitely a lot easier to get into the fire service because of him. Yeah. And then he has always been supportive of it from there. So.
Okay. All right. Cool deal. For those that don't know, including myself, can you talk about the current department that you're on now, the size, how many stations, personnel, things of that nature?
Yeah, so Logan Rogersville, we are just east of Springfield, Missouri. We are a district. We have a total of six stations. However, only three of them are staffed with personnel. The rest have equipment and such like that in there, but there's no staffing out of those other three. So we have station one, which houses our admin personnel, along with chiefs, and we also run out of station one is a pumper tanker and a truck, or a quint, I guess you want to call it, not a true truck. That is just ran with a two-man crew over there.
Okay.
Station five runs three personnel. and they run out of and they have an engine over there as well as a brush truck. And then station six, where I'm out of, we have an engine, a brush truck, and a tanker.
Okay. So six stations, three of them are staffed. How many, what's your manpower during a typical shift with all three stations?
With all three stations, my current shift, we have four at my firehouse, three at station six, and two plus our shift commander, our battalion chief at station one.
Okay. All right.
So we're at 10.
At 10. Okay. All right. And the minimum staffing across the board on all apparatus?
The minimum staffing for our whole department is two at each station.
Two. Okay. So.
But we do drop, as we are hurting for drivers, we do drop to two stations and we'll have four personnel at each station. Gotcha. If we have.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. And then I'm assuming too, you guys probably have to cross staff your apparatus, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, all medical calls, because of where we live and we have a lot of rural area that we do cover and small streets, we do not have ambulances. That's all ran by hospital-based ambulances, but we do run medical calls as like a first responder. Everyone's EMT certified within 18 months. But we run our brush truck goes on all medical calls for your district or your zone.
Okay.
So you'll two personnel on a brush truck that arrives normally about the same time the ambulance does. And then we'll leave two back at the station to cover another call where that were to come in, as we are kind of I want to say around 180 square mile coverage is our district.
Wow. Okay. And is it all rural or is it like a combination?
The city of Logan Rogersville is, I believe, like 3,000 people. So smaller, but when we do have the east side of Springfield, part of it is, you know, pretty residential area. If you were in Springfield, you don't know you're actually in Logan Rogersville district right there. Station, I want to say it's Springfield stations 12 and our station 2 are about a block away from each other.
Okay.
So they're on the same road.
Okay. Gotcha. And, if a first due structural box comes in, what's the complement of apparatus you're getting? Are you getting all three stations during the day or is it specific based?
If it's in Logan Rogersville district, you will get all three. So you're going to get if it's in the city area, you'll get both engines and the truck. And if it's outside the area, you're going to get both engines and then the pumper tanker. Just for that.
Okay. And do you guys have any mutual aid coming in or is it just Logan Rogersville?
No, we run with all the neighboring departments. So we have Southern Webster is one of them. We have Ozark, Sparta, which is in another county. You have Stratford, which is north of us, Mansfield. There's Springfield. We all kind of work together, which is kind of cool for this small of an area. They definitely are. If a box or structure fire goes out, they are pretty active as far as automatic aid. They don't waste no time with that, which is pretty cool. You don't see a lot of some of the smaller departments, you know, like this is our area type of a deal. And mm-hmm. We kind of wait until we call here. It's on the initial dispatch that everyone's kind of working. So you could, there's been times, you know, where we ran 30 minutes code to the neighboring department's call.
Right. Okay. All right. So I'm going to kind of go back a little bit. As you were going through the fire service, you know, my question for you is, how did you land over at No Hose Nation? How did that whole thing come about?
Yeah. So I started in northern Wisconsin on a small department. And when I graduated high school, I actually got an internship. It was a live-in internship in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, which is the suburb of Madison. There, I lived in the firehouse and I got my associate's degree. After that, I went in the Marine Corps for 5 years. I got out and I was thinking to myself after I got out, it was about a year or so later, I was like, man, I wonder, I'm single. I wonder if there is like another live-in spot out there where I could go online for school or do something to get back into like a busier department. At the time, I wanted to grow my fire service. I wanted to get busy again. So I was looking around, and then actually I came across the ad on Facebook, and it was for Hyattsville out of Prince George's County.
Okay.
I was like, whoa, like they have like live-ins in like the DC area. I was like, that's kind of cool. So I started looking at all the different departments out there, or different stations, I should say. And I came across this No Hose Nation, which was just a tiller truck and a walk-in rescue squad and the no water. And I was like, yo, like this is kind of cool. So I packed my bags. I went out there. I want to say I flew out there two or three times for some ride-alongs and some medical processing, screening stuff, and things like that. And then, I moved into the bunk room out there, and it was awesome. So it was just kind of something I wanted to do. I didn't know that it was even an option that you could go and do that at my age. And yeah, I was that's how I got into Berman Heights.
Okay. How old were you?
At the time, I was 30, 31, somewhere in there.
Okay. All right. And how long were you a live-in for?
So I was a live-in, it kind of broke up a little bit. So I was there from, it would have been, this year is going to be a total of 3 years on Berwyn Heights. So roughly like a year, year and a half, I'd say, broke up. I was a live-in at 14.
Okay. All right. So you decided to take the plunge. You did your research. You jumped in both feet, got on the department. From the get-go, what was the experience like? Who did you surround yourself with? What was the basic principles that they taught you?
Yeah, so we'll go back to like the first ride along.
Sure. Hell yeah. Yeah. Send it.
Like my first ride along, so I was there. I get out there, a box comes in, and for anyone that has never been to PG County, highly recommend it. Go to a ride along. It is a blast. Go to a good house. It is a blast. So I'm sitting there and a box goes out and these guys are they're running like they are running to the rigs. So boom, we get on the truck, we take off. I don't even know where we went, but it was a commercial building. I want to say it was like a Target and some other things that had some fast food in there. And we get up to it, and I remember the truck. One of the guys gets out of the truck. He goes inside, and he's. He comes back out. His name was Guido, actually. He comes out and he's got his hook and his can. And he was saying something to the engine crews, like they can go home because he put it out with the can. And I was like, yo, like, I don't know what just happened here, but this was cool. Like, it was just like, there was like that little rivalry and like, hey, we can do this. We don't need you. And I was like, yo, I can do this. Like, this is cool. So that hooked me in. Fast forward to when I moved in. So when you move in, you have to do or just to be a member in general, you have to do a VRS, which is volunteer recruit school, which is all on the computer now. It's just kind of a quick familiarization with the PACs and SOPs and stuff like that. Then at 14, you get what's called a your blue book, and that stays with you your whole time as a member there, but it keeps track of all your certifications, and then getting checked off on the rigs, what you can do, what you can't do. We also have an ambulance, so it has all your BLS internships, ship stuff to get blessed to be an aide. As so as things work there, you get firemen, firefighter, EMT. Everyone in Prince George's County has to be a firefighter, EMT. You get for 14, you have to get checked off for the truck. You have to get checked off for the squad. It can go either way. To be checked off for the truck, there's, you have your locations test, throwing ladders, you have forcible entry, things like that. For the squad, you have you're cutting cars, so you have your on its side, on its roof, all fours, where you cut doors, roof, dash on everything, doing the tool by yourself, tools, setting up like a 3-to-1, knowing some ropes, knowing some knots, so your locations on that as well. And you have your aid for the ambulance. You do your runs on that, gets approved, then you can become an aide. After that, then you can go to an ambulance driver after, I want to say it's a year. On the department, you can become a driver for the ambulance. You go from ambulance driver to tillerman, from tillerman to squad driver, and then from squad driver to truck driver.
Okay.
All tested positions, and you don't have to move up after you become an aide. Everyone has to become an aide and a fireman, unless you are just EMS only, then you'll just ride the ambo. But no one has to be a tillerman or a driver and move up from there, but minimum of firefighter EMT.
Okay. And what rank did you get up to, or are you?
I was a tillerman. I was working on my squad driver stuff before I left, but I
Okay.
still remember that. I don't live in the area now, so.
Okay. So, I mean, everyone hears the hype, everyone sees the videos, but from anyone that I've talked to down there, they all say it's the real deal. There's a form of competitiveness. There's a form of very strong camaraderie, no nonsense. A call comes in, no one's walking. People are literally like bum rushing to get to the truck, out the door, serve the citizens, pack everything up, and get ready to do it again.
Yeah, it's people ask like about like aggressive, that word gets thrown around a lot about aggressive.
Right.
When I think aggressive, before I even went out to Prince George's County, I thought I knew what aggressive was. Once I got out there, I was like, this is aggressive. You hear of this word aggressive and you think you're aggressive. And then you go out there and you're like, whoa, what did I just walk into? Like, these guys are aggressive. And it's a different world. It is just, you're getting off the truck. If you're in a ladder spot, I mean, your whole job on the truck is to throw ladders if you are in the ladder seat. And you get off and there's 300 and 310 feet of ladders on the truck. You're throwing all, minus the banger ladder. You're throwing, first due truck is Alpha Bravo side. So you're throwing ladders to all the Alpha Bravo. If you're third due truck, you're throwing ladders to the Charlie Delta side, and you're emptying the ladder bed, just running and throwing ladders. Like, it's not, oh, I think so. Like, if it came out as a box alarm, you are running and doing it until it comes back as burnt food, or someone set off a fire extinguisher and they thought it was all smoke and it's just fire extinguisher in the hallway, or whatever it ends up being. It is full bore until we hear otherwise, and same thing for the engine companies. They get off, they are dropping lines and pulling hose every box alarm call. It's not of, well, let's get out and see what we have first. I mean, they are, as soon as that parking brake set, and let's be honest, before a lot of the parking brakes are set, those guys are out the door and they're running. That's just the way it goes. We do have, a little bit of I should say there's a lot of competitiveness, which can be good and bad
Right, right.
in ways. But yeah, you have that good competitiveness of, you know, like I'm first due, say I'm first due truck, but I'm still trying to beat, say I came out as second due, so I'd be on the squad or the truck. But I know I'm just search company, but there's still times where I'm going to try to beat other apparatuses in there. Just that's my job. I'm still going to perform search. A lot of times, unless like you really smoke another unit, you will always take your original position. That way there's no mix up of, you know,
gotcha.
First. So, but yeah,
okay.
You have aggressiveness. You get that. This is my job. You know, I'm going to do this. You get, once in a while, you get that little bit of yelling on the inside. Like you go in and say the engine company's in there and they're trying to keep you out of the room. You're like, no, I'm search company. You know, let me in. Like, oh, we already searched it. I don't care. This is my job. Like, you know, like, let me search. Like, you get a little bit of that here. And, but it's, yeah, it's aggressive. It's fun. You know, we like to talk crap on other companies, but it's just big brother, little brother. But 14 will always be the big brother, just so everyone knows. So
I might have some former guests. I might take exception to that last comment there. One guy that comes to mind is Alex Pluto. He's with the Wes Lanham company 28. So he might have something to say about that.
Yeah.
But no, but seriously, like all jokes aside though, PG is one of those. It's a very unique fire district and fire organization just because the fact that they have career and volunteer personnel working together. Of course, if you're the volunteer organization, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure whatever guys you have at the station at the time, I think you guys call up the PSC and say, hey, this unit staffed with this amount of personnel. And if a box comes in, you know, you are working alongside with career and volunteer personnel, even though, and I will say most of the volunteer guys that I know are career somewhere else, whether it's DC, the DMV area, things of that nature. But just because they're volunteering their time doesn't make them any less of firefighters, because I know some jam up true 100% volunteer members who will run circles around career guys.
Yeah, so we'll hit this in two ways. So one is the how the stations work as far as staffing. So at 14, we are lucky. We have career staffing from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, not including holidays. So volunteers pick up from 3 p.m. to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, and then also cover 3 p.m. Friday to 7 a.m. on Monday is all staffed by volunteers. This year is our 100-year anniversary at 14, and we have been staffed all 100 years, so we have never went not staffed or out of service for staffing.
Okay.
Been out of service for training, you know, stuff like that, but we've never been out of service for staffing.
Okay. Quick question for you, so I don't break you, but I don't want to forget. So you said between the hours of 7 and 3, you have career personnel staffing both, either is it the tiller or the squad, or is it both?
Yeah, so we do cross staff. When it's a career personnel, it is cross staff. So when one call, if a call comes out, you get dispatched by apparatus. So if tones go out for a squad call, once the squad goes either on air or en route, it takes the truck out of service due to cross staffing.
Gotcha. Okay. And then once the 3 o'clock comes, do they go home or do they go to another station?
So it depends, you know. Everyone's kind of hurting for firefighters right now. So
right.
Guys, they either came to us on overtime or we have several members that are 14 is their career firehouse, so they're there Monday through Friday. But if there's an opening career spot somewhere else, they could get held over to go to another station. So,
gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Continue on. You were talking about how 100 years of all staffing, unless you guys went out of service for training.
Correct. So then you have, and when I say going out of service for training, like if you're just throwing ladders and stuff like that, like we're not going out of service, but if we're, we're a tech rescue company. So if we're doing like, where all the tech rescue companies in the county get together and things like that, we'll go out of service if we're going to a different area, or say, you know, we have to go and do like a simulator down at the academy, you know, we'll take the trucker squad down there and we'll be out of service just for that time okay. being.
Okay.
We're not just going out of service just to, you know, go practice throwing ladders or doing forcible entry or anything like that. It'd just be for events that we would have an extended time to put everything back in the rig to get out of the and get on the call.
Okay.
So going back to the apparatus for us, so we have to have a minimum of 4 personnel on fire trucks out of our firehouse, plus 2 on the ambulance at all times. So that is our minimum. So on the tiller, you're looking at a driver, an officer, a firefighter, and the tillerman. On the squad, you are looking at a driver, officer, your doorman, and 1 other personnel. We can't run less than that. And then you're talking about, you know, calling in for service and stuff like that. So as long as we are never going out of service, we don't have to call in, because we're always in service, so to say. Now, if we wanted to put up a second crew, so say we had one night, we'll have like 20 guys come into the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can have 2 on the ambulance and we can split, you know, 8 on the squad, 8 on the truck. And we can run from there. So we'll just call up the communications and tell them like, hey, we're going to have a dedicated ambulance and we're going to have 2 crews, a truck and a squad crew. And so then they'll say, okay. And then we have to do that for a minimum of so many hours. And then when we decide, like, you know, everyone's going to go either go to work the next day, or when that time comes where we have to start cutting down, we just call up communications, let them know we're down to cross staffing the truck and the squad again.
Gotcha.
Okay. Same thing with, you know, other houses that don't have career staff. As long as they have their minimum staffing met for the firehouse, they call up and say, hey, we're in service. And you never call communications again unless you're going out of service.
Okay. Okay. And what stations are around Berwyn Heights that you guys would normally run calls with?
So right there at Berwyn Heights, our closest engine company would be Company 11.
So that's Branchville.
However, 12 would probably be the closest company that which is right next to 11. And that's who we'd work more closely with. 11 is, they're not always in service, where 12 mm-hmm. is always in service as well. They have career staffing as well during the daytime.
Okay. So you guys definitely run with College Park.
Yeah. Yeah. We're running with College Park quite often. I would have to guess that almost, you know, vast majority of our calls is we're running with 12.
Okay.
48 would be, we have 35 to the east, 31, 48, 18, 9. Yeah, those would be like the ones immediately right around us.
Okay. So you ran with heavy hitters, West Lanham, Bladesburg, what other number did you say?
48.
So. That's Wesleyan. 35 is Greenbelt.
Yep.
Okay.
31. So
31's Beltsville. Yeah. All right. Copy that. Yeah.
One. We run with 1. Just Hyattsville. 33 run with those guys.
Now, is that doesn't happen very often though at 33, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Especially when it comes to like truck calls.
Gotcha. Okay.
Depend, because every box alarm you're gonna get four engines and three trucks, or four engines, two trucks, and a rescue squad. So if the county is hurting for, say a lot of trucks are out of service for staffing or for maintenance, you could be running almost countywide in the truck.
And I'm sure that's happened for
No,
before.
it happens all the time. I mean, it's pretty common. So, or if they're just on other calls, they don't even have
Right.
to be, it could just be another call.
Right. Okay. Out of both pieces of equip out of both apparatuses, which apparatus is more likely to go to a fire? Is it the truck or is it squad?
Truck.
Truck.
Truck. And that is because you have the truck can take two positions, where the rescue squad will only go as search company.
Gotcha.
So, and everything goes off of AVL, so a GPS locator. But does it, it's picking on, the closest four engines and the closest two trucks and a rescue squad, or closest three trucks. So
Okay. All right. While we're still on the topic of PG, you said you wanted to hit on to let others know and also give a shout out to the PG boys. Volunteer recruitment. I'm gonna let you have the floor. That way, you can get the message out on how you can go about doing it.
yeah, so being a volunteer for Prince George's County, I'll just kind of go through the 14 routes. So you can reach out to either a PG recruiter, or you can reach out to an individual department that runs volunteers out of Prince George's County and hit up their either social media or a recruitment member from there. You'll do your background check and things like that. I should mention that you can live anywhere. You don't have to live just in the Prince George's County area or anything like that. I currently live in Missouri, and I'm still a member. That we have members that live from 14 that are all over the place, from Colorado, Utah, New York, all over the United States, that are still active members and go and ride. How a lot of the departments there will run is you have to meet so many points per year. So many are going to be from running fire calls, so many are going to be from training, so many are going to be from, department mandatory events. But you don't have to live just in the area. You just, fly in, you got to pay for all your stuff, and it's going to be volunteer time, but it's worth it, especially if you're a younger person that's wanting to get into the, a bigger city. I want to say Prince George's County last year before ran 180,000 calls in that year. So out of, I want to say they run 45 firehouses. So you're gonna go and get your calls. Like, you're, if you want to experience a big city without, it's hard to get on a lot of bigger city departments. Well, you can go and volunteer, and you can get that exact same experience, if not better, from going and volunteering. So
Right.
go and sign up, go out, take a ride along, see if it's something you're gonna like, see, and it's just worth it, Hit up 14, they're come do ride alongs out there. It's different, we're no hose nation. There's a tiller truck and a walk-in rescue, actually two walk-in rescue squads. We have our front line and our A squad and our B squad, and an ambulance. So it's the only firehouse you're going to find stuff like that. And it'll open your eyes on what all can happen on the fire ground. When you hear so many people say things about, you can't do this, you can't do that, you go out there and they're doing it. Or you'll see guys that are making a new fancy tool and doing certain things, and then you go to the East Coast and 90% of those guys are they're just training on the basics and making sure that they can master, making sure they go fast. You know, like, how can I throw this ladder faster? How can I move this faster? How can I open this door faster? They're not making a new tool on how to open the door. They're just figuring out how to open this door fast with a bar, you know?
Right.
So it's cool. It's definitely worth going out and doing ride along, or, and if you can volunteer, you know, do your volunteer time.
Okay. And you got, and you know, starting out, man, I'm sure 14 set the precedence of like, yeah, you can come here, but this is not just a place to just hang out, wear a t-shirt. You're gonna put in the work, and putting in the work reaps the rewards of being a good fireman, getting doors open, throwing ladders correctly, throwing ladders right, and the experience, right? Like, there is no sitting back in the recliners hanging out. I mean, I'm sure there's a time and a place, but what I'm saying is, when you go to a department like that, that is motivated, that is driven, that has, you know, 100 years worth of staffing, like, there's no bullshit, pretty much, right?
Yeah, oh, 100%. If I mean, you have your guys that, you know, maybe they didn't really know what they were getting into, and you'll tell them like, hey, man, this is how we're gonna do things, you know. And like, when you go and you do your ride along, and you watch, you know, like these guys get off the rig, and they are running, like it's not a, yep, okay, like they are running. Either you are going to make it or you're going to break it right away. Like, you're going to know if this is for you or not. Yeah, I mean, they 14 is pretty lucky that if the ones that weren't going to make it, they kind of weeded themselves out. And the ones that, say, you do make it through a little bit, more than likely they're going to kind of weed themselves out. Or if you're not fast enough, you're not kind of holding your weight, have fun on the ambo, bro.
All right. We did kind of hit on it just a little bit, but you know, you talked about you know, career, volunteer, part-time. Regardless of what you are, it's all the same. It's all the same job. Like, so if I'm on an organization where there's career, part-time, and volunteer staffing supplemented that make up the organization, there really shouldn't be any individuals poking fun at, oh, well, this guy's just a volunteer. It doesn't, it's all, you know what I mean? Like, it all encompasses the same job. It just might be everyone's just a different title.
Absolutely. Like, so we'll just go back to 14. You know, a career volunteer, it doesn't matter. In Prince George's County, if truck 14 is going on a call, say a box alarm, and it's after 3 p.m. and say their first due truck, and they get assigned, the officer gets assigned, you know, Division One supervisor. More than likely, that's going to be some 20-year-old guy, you know, that is going to be a Division One supervisor. And the guys on the engine or whatever, they could be, you know, 30, 40 years old. And the Division One supervisor is a 20-some-year-old kid that's a volunteer and working along a career guy. Like, there's no, I don't know how to say it. Like, there's no, just because you're a volunteer, career, or pay, like, it doesn't matter. You're doing, we all have the same job. There's respect going all the way around. Now, I mean, you do get your people that you'll butt heads with, you know, like, I'm still better than you or stuff like that. But
Right.
yeah, I mean, it's just because this person's a volunteer, that doesn't really mean, now, if you're gonna say like, oh, I'm just a volunteer, and you're going to treat yourself like, oh, I'm just a volunteer, I can't do that, I'm just a volunteer, I'm just a volunteer, well, then guess what? You're, hate to say it, you're just going to be a shitty fireman. Like, it doesn't matter if you're going to be a career guy, and you're still going to be like, oh, I'm a career guy, but now I know everything, so I'm going to sit on the recliner and not put my gear on for any, oh, I'm a career fireman, but I haven't put my gear on in 3 years because I'm at a slow firehouse, you know? Well, guess what? You're still a shitty fireman, you know? Like,
Right.
matter what your pay scale, I guess you could call it, is.
Okay. All right. No, I like I said, I wanted to hit on that, and the message is perfect. I mean, it doesn't matter the name. If you're a fireman, firemen are all firemen. You're either going to have ones that care, ones that don't, t-shirt wearers, sticker supporters, whatever the case may be. But if you want to be a fireman, whether you're volunteer, career, or part-time, like, do the job and do it well.
100%.
Okay. So let's fast forward a little bit, man. How do you go from PG, busy PG, all the way to Missouri now?
Yeah, so that's a question I've been getting asked quite a lot. So my wife and I, we were looking for a house, and I mean anywhere around Prince George County, it's just expensive. We
Right.
wanted to make our commute to work. I own my own leather business, and she's a nurse, and she's working at MedStar in DC in the burn center there. And she didn't want her to drive more than an hour into work, which I get. You work 12-hour shifts, so you have to drive an hour into work, an hour back from work. You still need to do everything else in the day, plus go to sleep. So I totally get it. So we were looking around, and between the cost of houses and if you really were going to move that far away from DC, then you're looking at quite a bit of a drive time to get into work. So we started looking around at different burn hospitals in the nation, and we look at burn hospitals and then look at the surrounding area, see if it was livable. We wanted to be outdoors more, and we threw a dart on a map and ended up here in Missouri.
Oh, that's now, I mean, I understand why you did it, and yeah, I trust me, I mean, the cost of living in the DC, DMV, PG area, man, it is something for sure. And I totally get your wife not wanting to do the whole more than an hour commute with what she does. So it's just I definitely get it. But how much, so you did you do any research for fire departments in that area before you moved, or was it after you guys already pulled the trigger and moved down?
So the me having a fire job wasn't necessarily a career fire job wasn't necessarily we weren't really looking for it. We wanted her to be under an hour into work. We wanted land on our house. We wanted to go from renting. So in Maryland, we were paying between rent and then also having a storage unit. I mean, we were $3,500 plus every month,
Wow, yeah.
and not getting anything. And we were a fourth floor apartment of 1200 square foot, so my pickup actually couldn't even fit in the parking lot, so I had to fit in the very first thing and walk upstairs to go to my apartment every day. So we were ready to kind of get out of that. Then when we were looking at coming out here, we found a place that we bought a barn dominium, so we could build the new leather shop inside here. We have, I want to say it's almost like 6,000 square foot of a house here, and we pay way less than what we were paying there.
Right.
Plus, we have 5 acres.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so a fire job wasn't necessarily something I was looking for. I was looking around at different departments. That way, I could stay active in the fire service.
Gotcha.
The department that I got hired on, I actually went to go meet with the chief to talk about a volunteer spot just so I could stay in the fire service and doing ride along here and still go back to 14. Well, they switched to 4896s here, and was talking with the chief, and so they had a full-time spot open, and talked with my wife, and I took it. So it wasn't necessarily a something I needed to have to move out here was a career fire job. I was going to stick with my leather full time, which we're still working on that. And so we got another fire job. I stay busy. The 4896s for us are really nice. Smaller department. We only run around 2,000 calls total for the year. So it's the call volume is a lot lower. And when I come home, like, I can still work on my leather stuff. Now, if it was 24-48s, it might be a little bit different story. It might be kind of harder to work on the leather stuff, but here I can still get a good solid 4 days of leather work right in one stretch, which is nice.
Okay. All right. So, I'm sure there's plenty of others who can relate, but for those who are possibly thinking about, transitioning to a slower department, I'm sure the amount of experience that you got with your while being a live-in there definitely helps your new department, right? And also, I want to hit on the fact that you, the department you're on, and of course, no fault to their own or to you, the call volume's a lot lower, but that doesn't mean you can get complacent, right? And not put that gear on, not train, things of that nature, right?
No, yeah, exactly. So, the department here, even though it's a smaller department, you still do the same thing. I mean, we had a new volunteer that he's going through fire one and fire two right now. So last, I just came off shift this morning, and on Saturday, he's threw ladders in the academy, but never really, he hasn't been experienced to throwing ladders. In the academy, everything is two man, so we were showing him how to do everything one man, and he was saying at first, like, there's no way I can throw a 24 foot by myself. And I was like, I've seen, 17-year-old girls at 14 that can come in and be a junior member that throw them all by themselves. Like, I know you can, dude. You're 30 years old. Like, you just have never done it before, and by the end of the day, he's like, wow, like, I would have never thought you could do this. So yeah, just because you're on a smaller department, you almost have to train more because you don't get that same call volume.
Right.
That's kind of the bigger thing that is kind of going on right now is for me, it's like, hey, we need to train more on this, some of this stuff, because we don't get to run a box alarm, four or five box alarms in a day. Even if they're all burnt food, that's still good training, especially for a new guy that, maybe I screwed up on pulling this hose, maybe I screwed up on throwing this ladder, or maybe I got screwed up sitting in my seat and I was trying to take something off and I got all tangled up in my headset. Like, reps are huge. It doesn't matter if it's a training or real job. I would rather do a lot more screw ups in training, but if you're not getting those reps in, or if it's been a while since you've done any reps like that, you'll remember real quick when you do that next rep a month later and you're like, oh, I haven't done this in a while.
Right. No, I totally get it. I do. Did you kind of, and I'm not saying like you joined Logan Rogers and like you're trying to turn it into a PG, but are there certain things that you continually do there like you used to do in PG? So like, so for example, for me and my crew, if we get a first due box, now it's not written in our SOPs or SOGs that you have to do this, but if we get a first due box, even though I'm riding a quint, if we arrive first on any possible, doesn't matter if the captain's like nothing showing or not, a line is being stretched to that person's front door. That's just what we do. And I tell my fireman in the back, it's because there's no better way of getting reps in than to pull a line. It hurts nothing to pull a line. 2 minutes, we could pack it up, me and you. I was like, if anybody ever questions why you do that, if we get a new timeouter that comes out there, just tell them because it's just good sets and reps. So do you kind of see yourself being the driver? Like if you're responding to something, do you find yourself kind of bringing a little PG mentality there? And are they, is the officer like okay with that?
Yeah, so definitely. So like one of let's see here. So there's one of the reasons I kind of picked Logan Rogersville was I wanted a smaller department so I couldn't compare it. Like if I were to go to Springfield, I want to say they have like 160,000 people there, something like that, 12 stations. That department's a lot bigger, they run more calls. I could have applied there, yeah, but in my eyes, if I would have went to a bigger, like on the neighboring bigger department, I would have compared it too much to PG and I probably would have upset myself or mentally got a lot more frustrated.
Gotcha.
So I went to a smaller department where I'm not trying to flip this department upside down or, you know, do it my way, but ways that I simple things, you know, like throw a ladder, pull the line, you know, like help them a little bit. I'm not saying that I'm trying to be like their training god or take anything away from the department already, but I do try to, hey, why don't we like, so for my captain with us, like here, it's ran way different than there. So here, your officer will get out, do his 360. After he does his 360, he'll tell you where to pull a line.
Gotcha.
It, you know, and the other firefighter, or if you have two firefighters, they, if one didn't hook the hydrant, you know, they're, one's bringing the tools around and stuff like that, but they're kind of waiting to see what, are they going to pull to the front side or are they going to pull to the back side? Now that, it's just my officer, so to say. If I were to be sitting in the seat, it would be, you know, pull, you stretch your line to the front door every time. And if we have to run it around back, it's not charged. Like, just go around back unless there's all types of crazy stuff. Majority of our houses, there's, you do have your trash houses. But I mean, besides that, you're pulling 200 foot of 1¾ inch. It's not that hard to pull, you know, it's not charged. That's just my eyes. You know, throw ladders. If we can throw ladders, they do a third do rig here would be our search team. So if they're very strong on two in, two out here, unless there is an absolute known victim inside, then they can kind of let that go for a little bit. But otherwise they are very strong on the two in, two out, which, you know, I understand it one way, another way, just it's kind of hard, you know, like I want to go and play, but I understand that you want to wait, but sitting outside waiting for 10 minutes for this next new rig to come in can be kind of a, we could have possibly saved this, you know, and now it's, now we need everybody here.
I get you, man. I mean, it's gotta be a culture shock. And I like how you've phrased it. You know, you chose that place for your, I guess you can kind of say like mental sanity, because, you know, you're so used to where like in PG, man, you know, you got companies on top of companies, like in a quick manner, but where you're at now, you know, waiting 10 minutes can be a difference between, you know, this was a one line or a can job to now it's like multiple lines or we're going defensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I should say, like, they say that if you can tell it's in the incipient stage, you don't have to do the two in, two out, you know, you can go in and knock it. But if it's, you know, who's incipient stage, you know, are you saying incipient for a room and contents? Or are you saying incipient for the whole building? You know,
like, right.
What, you know, so it could be, yeah, you know, that was part of the reason, but, why I ended up on our department was majority of it was, I didn't want to compare it too much to PG and kind of get frustrated or, cause you know, like I want to make a bad name for myself either. Or if I'm constantly comparing, you know, well, that's not how we do it in PG. I don't want to be that guy.
You don't like, need that. Yep. And there's always somebody out there that does that for sure.
Yeah. And I probably say it too much even at work now for littler things, but I try not to do that. That's why I went to a smaller department. So I didn't compare it as much.
All right. And where do you see yourself in the future, like distant future? Do you see yourself staying a driver or can you see yourself being a company officer there?
I know. So I have plans to make my way up. I would like to, when I eventually am done with the fire service, I'd like to, you know, have my own buggy one day. I'm not saying I want to be number one, but I would like to be a battalion chief or a shift commander of sort. So I've worked my way up. I went through and, you know, I did my associate degree last year. I finished my bachelor's in fire administration. I'm getting some final classes here for officer stuff. So maybe by the end of the year, move up to the slide across to the front right seat instead of the driver's seat.
Okay.
The department is actually a very young department. There's not a lot of experience. Majority of the guys, our department, one of our chiefs puts on Southwest Regional Academy for firefighters. And majority of our officers are instructors for the class. So they, I want to say they have two classes a year, maybe three. And a lot of them will come to us for a career spot, and then they'll end up going and working for Springfield or our bigger department when they open up. So we get a lot of turnover with, you know, 1-2 year members, unfortunately, which is why we're hurting drivers. And some of our officers, you know, they're fairly new to the fire service, and it's nothing against them. I want to say there's a lieutenant, you know, he's been in the fire service a total of maybe 3 years, you know, and it's just, it's nothing against him, but he's a great dude. He just, you know, 3 years in my eyes is kind of a younger amount to be a lieutenant. But when you look at the rest of his crew has been there for less than a year, you know?
Right. Right. And it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. And so I'm assuming you still finding time to fly up, or do you drive up whenever you want to do your shifts at the 14?
Yeah. So I'll fly. That was one thing that we did look up when we were moving around is flights from the closest airports. So I could still fly back.
Okay.
Round trip. I have not been back since we moved. We just moved in February. So I have not been back. You know, 14 will definitely always have a place, you know, in my heart. It's my wife and I actually got married there at the firehouse. Or surrounded by the guys from the bunk room. One of the guys from the firehouse actually married us. So, yeah, 14 will always be there. But yeah, I want to say May 4th is when we're doing our awards banquet for the guys at 14. I don't think I'll be able to make it back for that time, but mid June, I'll definitely be back, probably for a week to do another week stint out there.
Okay. Okay. And last but not least, I like to give like I call this a shameless plug, man, but I want you to talk about your leather workshop. What can you do? That way, you know, you're spreading the word, getting it out there, and you know, the fire service is all about helping each other out, man. So like it's your time. So let people know what you do, how they can contact you, things, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So I started a leather business here. Actually, I started it on the floor of at 14, making leather shields, leather fire shields. So my company is Levy's Leather LLC. So levysleatherllc.com or Instagram, Facebook, Levy's Leather LLC. But I do, you know, custom shields. Doesn't matter, you know, from a Boston to whatever kind of little design that you want, I'll do. And it's $40. I wanted to make a cheap leather shield. You know, I'm not making like a plaque shield or stuff that needs a lot of time into it. That's just not my forte. I wanted a cheaper leather fireman's shield where if it gets burned up, you know, it gets burned up. It is $40, you know,
that's
$40. I also make, you know, from chin straps, glove straps, radio straps, inverted flashlight holders, things like that. Like it just started at the firehouse one day and kind of grew. I was working out of a closet in back home in College Park. And when we moved out here to Missouri, we built a new shop inside of our barn dominium. So we got a 16 by 22 shop that's still being built. So, so for everyone that's placed an order, I'm sorry, it's been taking a little bit since we moved. Like we're out in Amish country now. So the only internet out here is through satellite. So we got some Starlink stuff, and our router went bad. So unfortunately, we've been out of internet for 2 weeks here at the house. So I can't ship anything out. But normally we run, it's about a 4 week turnaround for anything that you order. So I've been back. Be honest, I'm a little slow, and I'm kind of disappointed about that just because of the move. We had to build the shop, the learning curves of, you know, building a shop ourselves. I didn't hire no one. I did it all myself. And I mean, you know, just because your dad does drywall doesn't mean you can do it. My dad retired from drywall, and I absolutely hate it, dude. But yeah, you know, customer service, you know, it's kind of funny. I do leather, but as far as shields go for customer service, Taylor from Taylor's Tins, man, I have the utmost respect for that guy. He made two shields for me way back when he started off, and his customer service was amazing. And I've always said that I wanted to get my customer service to him. He is fast. He's good. You know, he takes care of all his customers, and maybe one day I can get to his level. So thank you, Taylor, for making me try to be better with my own business. I know we're little enemies here, but hey, leather's still better.
No, I mean, like, you know, there are so many different leather companies out there, and you know, you, like I said, you did a huge move. Once everything, I mean, you can't control that. Where you live in Missouri, you know, there's not like fiber internet, so you're having to make do right now. But I'm sure once you get everything going, the process will be smooth again. But I will have to say, you are right, dude, because like I rock tin shields now. I know, and no offense to leather, I love my leather shield, but one thing I hated was, you know, if you get a fire or if I was dumb enough to take it inside like a live burn, it'd come back and, you know, it discolored the leather, and you try to wipe it and you're like, shit, this thing doesn't, it's not how it used to look. But man, Taylor's, dude, I ordered my first shield and that shit was at my house in like 2 days. And I'm like, did I pay for expedited shipping? And so like the next time I did it, another 2 days it was here, and like their customers, I just drew like a little chicken scratch of what I wanted, and I got an immediate response of, yep, we'll send you a rendering here in a couple minutes. And I'm like, dude, these guys are on it.
Yeah. Like it, no, he has, you know, customer service goes a long ways. And if I could do half of the customer service that guy can do, I would be so happy. How he does it, like it's hard, you know, like it's just, he does an amazing job, you know, man, kudos to you, Taylor.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, man, I'm sure once you get the shop done, the internet going, man, you know, you'll be banging out orders here left and right and doing you and doing your thing. But, I do have to say, man, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking shop. I definitely, when I saw your post, you know, we've been friends for a little bit, but when I saw your post, I'm like, oh man, he's moving. I'm like, damn, that's gotta be like a culture shock, but also a learning curve for others who are like, you know, cause you can't forever stay at like a, I mean, I'm not saying you can, but like your life's changing with your wife. I'm sure maybe you guys have maybe goals of bringing in little ones. Like all that changes the trajectory of your career. So I definitely wanted to hear your perspective of what it's like going from like big city to urban / rural suburban fire department.
Yeah. It, you know, that was kind of like another thing is back PG, you can run, you know, 20, 30 calls maybe in a day, like if it really busy day, and that's a day, like right. One day, you know? And here, are just in general, you hear people like, man, we had a busy day yesterday. Like, yeah, what'd you run? They're like, oh, you know, we had like six calls. I'm like, well, what'd you do? You know? what was busy, you know, like,
right.
Like, it just, you know, just different perspective, you know, of how you look at it.
Absolutely.
That's all it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Before we part out, is there anything else you want to say? Any message you want to give out there to anyone listening?
Thanks, Danny B, man. This is awesome. This is cool. You know, I've been listening to you for a while. Like I want to say you're probably one of the first podcasts I've ever listened to. And I want to say it was your beginning, you know, the box. You're like, that was just like every single time I was like, yeah, like I like this, you know? So thanks for having me on. Like, I enjoyed it.
No, man. I like I said, I just appreciate you coming on, talking shop, spreading the good word, letting people know it's okay to love the job. It's okay to want to be good at the job. And I mean, I just don't want to be, me personally, I never want to be that fireman just holding up a spot, wearing a t-shirt. Like, I don't want to be a poser. I want to put in the work and reap the rewards of being able to do my job. So I just got to say thanks for coming on, man. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Like, I just got 4 books in the mail yesterday. You know, I got, let's see here. John Norman working with Giants came in, the new company officer, mastering the craft, and the functional fire company. You know, I always try reading a little bit, and if I can pass just that little bit on, you know, I'm not saying I'm trying to be the best of the best, but just pass that little bit of information on to the next person. Just keep this fire service strong.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Love it, man. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.